unbeknownst to the equip people that are in my equip class every morning, I've been doing a series, or every Sunday morning, I've been doing a series in that class since April 6th. And it's a long time. It's 18 or 19 weeks, I think, that we've gone on looking at Ephesians chapter 6. And so this morning, I am going to do what I'm going to call final words. Now, don't hold me to that, you guys, Sunday morning people, because you never know what might still come up out of Ephesians chapter 6. But we're going to, I have some other thoughts about Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is a final closing remarks from the Apostle Paul. You know, he was in Roman imprisonment at this time, about AD 60. And he was surrounded by guards, and so I think he used this picture, this imagery, to teach some spiritual realities to us. These are really important things. This particular passage is a life or death passage for every believer. And when I say that, you may say, well, that sounds really, you know, dramatic. It is dramatic. He used these words as the close of this letter. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from God, from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, where this series actually started is I was reading a book by Trina Hankins on healing. And she made this comment, like in one of the opening chapters, she made this comment about how so many Christians are like the person who has a hole in their roof and they wait until it starts raining to get up on the roof to fix the hole. And how many people are like that? They wait until something happens in their life, until they get sick, until they have some kind of financial disaster, they have a relationship breakup, any number of things that assault the human race. They wait until these things happen before they do anything about it, before they ever look to see what God might have something to say about this. And so I thought, that is an awesome, awesome truth. You know, why wait until things get bad to get up on that roof? You know, then it's too late, isn't it? Oftentimes then we're just in this scrambling recovery mode to try to cover things and to try to catch up and to try to make things better. And it usually doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. And yet so often even in life we're that way. We're not prepared. You know, we're just not prepared for the things that come along. And this passage of scripture tells us, these are final words. He says, a final word. Now, you know, it could be a final word. Final words are important words because they're always the words we save for the very last before, say, if your kids are heading off to school, your final words to them are always going to be the things that are most important that you want them to. Did you remember your lunch money? Get your gym clothes? Get your homework? You know, things like that. Or it might be the final words of a loved one before they go on to be with the Lord. There may be words that they want to speak to us that would be very important words, things they want to have accomplished in our lives, things they want to express to us, they want to communicate to us. They may be words that they really hope that we'll honor. Maybe there was a rift in the family and they want to see some kind of reconciliation. It could be any number of things, but they're final words. And they're words that are important. They're always words that we save for the very last because they're so important. And I believe that's what Paul was doing here. He was saving these words for the last because of the importance of the things that he was going to try to convey through this particular passage of scripture, verses 10 through, actually he would say 18, because prayer is an important part of this too, but we haven't talked about that yet. And so it's a final word. And the very first thing he says after telling us these are his final words is to be strong. And I thought about that. I thought, how many times throughout the scripture, if you look up this phrase, be strong or be strong and courageous, it's in the scriptures over and over and over again. It was God speaking to a leader or another leader speaking to his successor to be strong. Oftentimes those words were used just prior to a battle. And I think that's why God used these words here, why he inspired Paul to say, be strong. He said, be strong. And the Phillips translation says, be strong, not in yourselves, but in the Lord. You know, it's easy for us to try to be strong in ourselves. But the kind of battles that we're going to be up against are not battles that human strength is going to be able to deal with. You know, I think we're just living in unprecedented times. We're seeing things happening on the earth today that we would never have dreamed. Now, not that we haven't had attacks like this or things like this happen before. We have had terrible things happen, you know, globally, but it seems like they're just coming so much more rapidly today. See, the frequency seems to just be ramped up. You know, the things that we're hearing on the news were, you know, threats of global terrorism, even here right on our home soil again. Pandemics. You know, we would never have thought any kind of pandemic would ever affect us in this country. Well, guess what? It is. So, you know, never say never. Financial collapse. International, global financial collapse because of spending, because of debt. A southern border that's not secure. I mean, we've got so many things that we could think about that we need to be strong about, that we need to be thinking about, that we need to take, these are serious things. These are serious things that will and could affect every one of us. They're things that could have an impact on every single one of us. There's escalating racial tensions in our country. These are all things that, now am I saying these are new? No, some of these things we've experienced before, and we as the human race have survived, haven't we? We've survived them. But it just seems like what we're experiencing right now seems to be ramped up a little bit. And if you don't know God, if you're not secure in your relationship with God, if you haven't acquired a level of peace in your relationship with God, these things are going to be very unsettling and very unnerving. And so we're told to be strong. You need to be strong because there's a battle coming. And he tells us the kind of battle it is, and we'll look at that here a little bit longer. But I think greater than any of these things that are happening in the world today, the greater threat is a psychological one. It's what are you thinking about the stuff that you're hearing on the news? How is it affecting you psychologically? How is it affecting you emotionally? If you're in fear, or if you're panicking, you're finding yourself having a difficult time sleeping, you're stressed, that's the greater threat, I think. Those are much greater threats. They have a much greater potential of damage to us as human beings than even the things that seem to be coming. How many of us will actually be affected by these things that are happening? But, you know, the enemy wants to fill our mind with fear, anxiety, and worry and things like that. And so God tells us what we have to do to be prepared to face the days that we're living in. And he called these days evil days. Now, people don't like to hear that. These aren't evil days. Yes, we're living in an evil day. We're living in a day that the Bible would call evil days. And so he tells us what to do, how to deal with your personal life. As Sean was saying, it's what you have to do between you and God to deal with the days that we're living in. He said, first of all, he said, be strong. And then he tells us exactly what we have to do to survive, to make it through these evil days. And that is to put on the whole armor of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God. And the whole armor is all of the weapons. And then he describes these weapons for us. He tells us what these weapons are like. He defines them for us. We shouldn't have any question, what do we need to do to be prepared for these days? What do we need to do as individuals to be able to stand through an outbreak, an Ebola outbreak, or financial collapse? I know, you know, you hear things that some of these financial strategists are saying about the next couple of years. It ain't pretty. You know, let's not wait till it starts raining to make sure we've got our houses in order. Amen. First of all, do we have our spiritual house in order? Do we know what God says? Do we know that God has made provision for us spiritually to go through no matter what life hands us, no matter what comes along. He says, put on the whole armor of God. That's all the weapons, the full armor. And then he describes this wonderful armor. This isn't a dress uniform. You know, dress uniforms were used today. When you think about all the different branches of the military, they all have dress uniforms, and they wore those for ceremonies and receptions and different things like that, special occasions. We're not talking about a dress uniform. We're talking about something that you're going to go into active duty wearing. This is armor. This is weaponry. And he's made provision for us for every kind of attack the enemy might bring. So he says, put on the whole armor of God. The thing I love is he says, you have to put this on. In other words, you know, if you just come to church on Sunday morning occasionally, or on a Wednesday night occasionally, and think you're going to be dressed in armor, guess what? No, you're not dressed. In fact, that would be like coming to church and expecting the pastor to dress you. Pastor, give us a really good message today, and that's going to dress me. That is not what he's talking about. How often would a soldier have to dress in his armor? Every day. If he's in active duty, every day. He has to dress every day. He can't wait until one or two days a week to put his armor on. He has to dress every day. And so it tells us, you put this on. You have to do this. You can't let somebody else do this for you. You can't, the TV evangelist or your favorite person that you listen to or whose books you read. This is something you have to do, and you have to do it on a daily basis. Why? Why is it so important? Because it tells us the reason we're going to put this whole armor on is that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, again, as I said, all these things are coming on the earth. We're seeing these things. I mean, all you have to do is turn your news on every time. You know, I have this app on my iPad, a Fox News app. Sorry for those of you that don't like Fox News, but I happen to like it. Anyway, the first one last night was about another guy they found on a United flight that was on the way into the United States that they are suspicious has this disease. And, you know, what do you do with that when you see that stuff? What are your choices? We have choices. Like John said, we have choices what we're going to do when we hear these things. And it's not what that man might be bringing into our country. It's what the devil wants you to think about what that man might be bringing into this country that is so dangerous. Because we have people that will think, oh, I'm going to get sick. I know it. I just know it. You know, I'm just one of those people that gets everything that comes along. See, that's more dangerous than the disease itself. Amen? So he tells us here to do this so that we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the only way we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, the only way, is to put on the whole armor of God. Now, see, again, these are final words. These are last words. To stand against the wiles of the devil. Not just some of the armor, but the whole armor of God. And, you know, I was thinking about this. How many Christians just think, well, I'm saved. God would never let anything happen to me. You know what that is? That's like, imagine a soldier a soldier today or a soldier in the day that Paul wrote this, just venturing out into the battlefield with just a helmet on. How long would he last? He might not lose his head, but there'd be a lot of other things that could happen to him. And yet I think that's the thinking of so many believers today is that I'm saved. What could happen to me? God wouldn't let anything happen to me. I don't need anything else. I'm saved. I've got my fire insurance. That's all that matters. You know, nothing's going to come against me in life. Nothing's going to affect my happy little life. Well, why would God tell us we need the whole armor of God? Now, this is a loving father's provision for his family. The whole armor, not just the helmet of salvation, but the whole armor. You know, if your feet aren't shod for battle, if you don't have that breastplate, if you don't have the sword of the Spirit, if you don't have that shield of faith that's held out in front of everything. I mean, we spent weeks and weeks and weeks talking about these, so I'm not going to give details on that. You could go back and listen to the equip classes for that. But he said, this is how you're going to stand against these wiles, the things that the enemy is going to try to tell you about the things that are going on. The word wiles is strategies and schemes and trickery, but it's really interesting because the original compound word in the classical Greek that this word came from means on a road. In other words, the devil is on a road. He wants us to think, first of all, I love that Paul used this word because, you know, I think the Holy Spirit wants us to understand the devil doesn't have as many tricks in his bag as you think he does. He's got one that he's really good at, and he is really good at it. He's really, really good at it. It's deception. It's to try to mess with our minds, make us think the way he wants us thinking. And if he can get control of your mind, he's going to control your life. That's his goal, to control your mind, because if he can control your mind, he will control your life. And so that's why this is of such importance to us as believers. He travels on one road. There's one avenue, one lane. He plays mind games with us. This all is in the form of, what happens to you when you hear some of these things on the radio? What does it do to you? What do you do back? See, we have to have the final word on any one of these things. We have to have the final word. We don't let the enemy have the final word if these things are coming into our country, if we're seeing all these things that are going on in our nation right now, financially, sickness, the threat of all these different threats that, you know, it's unlike anything I ever have known. I mean, I was born in the 50s, and life was really sweet back then. Anybody else come up in those years? It was pretty sweet, yeah, wasn't it? It was, well, for some of us, it was. It was pretty sweet. Life was pretty sweet. It's a whole different world today. And our kids are having to be told things that we would never have dreamed having to tell children because of what's going on in the world. And so we have to be prepared. We have to be equipped to do this. And so the devil's ultimate goal, of course, with this is what he does best, and that is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10 tells us that. That's what he wants to do. He wants to come and steal. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. But the thief comes. That's the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So his goal behind every lie is to steal from you, to kill you, to destroy your life. How much of a light of the world can you be when that's going on? You know, in our lives are supposed to preach the gospel. If the devil's robbing us blind, making us sick, depressing us, doing all those types of things that he wants to do to control our lives, how much of a light are we going to be? We're not. We're not going to be a light. We're going to be too busy focusing on all the stuff going on in our lives. Amen. So it takes the whole armor of God to deal with the wiles. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he tells us why. So our battle isn't against natural things. Our battle isn't against terrorism. It isn't against financial collapse. It isn't against Ebola. It isn't against a porous southern border. It isn't against any of those things. It's against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness. It's against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so he says, because of this, you need to take this armor. You need to take it. You need to take the armor of God. And he tells us twice in this passage, you do something with this armor. You have to do something with it. You know, and I think that's why the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 is also so important to us. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural weapons. We're not taking an actual literal helmet or shield or sword having our feet shod with the right type of boots. We're not doing actual physical adorning of apparel. These are all representative of spiritual principles. So we can build this wall of defense in our lives, because our beliefs are the most important thing we have as Christians. Our beliefs govern what we think, say, and do, don't they? They govern what we think, say, and do. So if our beliefs are wrong, if we're not aligning our beliefs with God's system of beliefs, we're going to be indefensible. There won't be a wall of defense there. So we have to take captive the thoughts that come to us. We have to deal with thoughts one by one. You know, that's a lot of work. If you're somebody that gets tormented along certain lines with certain types of thoughts, it's hard work to take your thoughts captive. It's hard work if you're struggling with an area of unforgiveness. Boy, that works at you, doesn't it? Yeah. You know what they said. You know what they did. You have a right to feel this way. You owe it to yourself. You need to, you have a right. What good does that do? It doesn't do us any good. It's tormenting. You know what they say when you're in unforgiveness? It's like you drinking poison expecting the other person to die. You know, it caused you. It doesn't cause them. It caused you when you're in unforgiveness and when you're bitter against people. Let it go. That's not the peace of God. It's not worth it. Is it? It's absolutely, look at, you know, the stories that we've seen and over the years of people, their whole life, they'll have a rift with a family member and their whole life, they're mad at them about something. Sometimes people get to where they don't even remember what they're mad about, but they're mad and they're sticking to it and they think they have a right. We don't have a right. I always like to tell people, God forgave us. The debt he forgave me was equivalent to the national debt. Now, today, that's a lot bigger than it was back some time ago. And it's ticking away, isn't it? How many millions and millions every second or something? I forget what it is, but it's huge. That's what God forgave me. What I need to forgive that person that might have offended me and maybe didn't even intend to offend me, you know what that is? That's pocket change. How can we not forgive people when we've been forgiven of so much? Didn't mean to get off on that, but the Phillips translation of this passage in Ephesians is so good. It says, put on God's complete armor so that you can successfully resist all the devil's methods of attack. So all his methods, all those wiles. For our fight is not against any physical enemy. It's against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We're up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. I think this is another problem. A lot of people, even Christians, they just don't ever stop and think that there's a devil. It's all natural. They think it's all natural that we actually have an enemy, a spiritual enemy. And my husband, you know, when he shares his testimony, he was in total denial that there was any kind of spirit realm at all and that there was anything working against us. But God's word is very clear. Now, we don't want to be devil conscious. We don't want to become, you know, caught up in all this stuff about the devil. He's been defeated. He's just, all he is a sniper now. That's all he is. But it says, therefore, you must wear the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist evil in its day of power. And that even when you have fought to a standstill, you may still stand your ground. So what does standing and holding your ground mean? What does that mean? Well, I think standing and holding your ground means living victoriously as Christians. You know, we can live victoriously even when our financial economy is collapsing. We can have peace even in the midst of that. That's what causes people to take notice of you as a believer. You can live victoriously even when things are raging around you. You can still live victoriously. You can reign in life. Why can we reign in life? Because this is only the tip of the iceberg of our existence. We are eternal beings. Our life here, it says, the scriptures say, is like a vapor. You know, on a really cold Minnesota winter morning when you go out and you take your first breath or exhale your first breath, and what do you see? This little puff of steam. How long does that last? Jesus is just gone. That's what this natural human existence is like. And yet we pour everything into this existence. This is all it is. This is all that matters. This is all that's important to me. But it isn't. It isn't. This is just the tiniest portion of our existence is what we're living on this earth today. I love thinking about what's coming for us. Now, hopefully, we're going to spend that time with God in eternity. Amen? You know, that's what salvation is about. We make salvation about hell. I am so tired of people preaching about hell. Now, hell has to be preached. People need to know there's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. But salvation is not about hell. It's about a relationship with God. It's much easier to sit down and tell somebody about this wonderful God that you have a relationship with than it is to tell them you're going to go to hell if you don't repent. Who's going to listen? Who wants to listen to that? Now, you know what? The outcome of not having a relationship with God, of not being reconciled to God, is hell. But that should not be the heart of our message. The heart of our message should be, I have this relationship with this awesome, awesome person. I really want you to know them. I want you to know them like I know them. You'll love them. You will just love this person. They are the greatest person I've ever known. They're so wonderful and loving and kind and giving and forgiving and all these wonderful, they're like nobody you've ever known. That's what the salvation message should be. Not you're going to hell in a handbasket. You know, that's too much focus on hellfire. Amen. Amen. So we want to reign in life. We want to live victoriously. We want to be a light to the world. We want to stand undaunted by the storms of life. Now, I've got a scripture. I don't know if they have this scripture here to show, but I'm going to read this to you again. You know, people think storms will never come. They'll never come to me. I'm Christian. Nothing bad will happen. That is such a deceived concept to begin with. Things are going to happen to you, but how are you going to weather it? Matthew 7, this is the Message Bible, verse 24 says, these words that I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, forgive me, but this is what the message says. You're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Well, that's what happens. That's what happens. We don't want that to happen. Are we going to stand when the storms, not if, but when the storms of life come? When they come, are we ready? Are we ready for them? Are we going to weather the storm? Are we going to be left standing after the storm passes? Are we going to be like this parable that Jesus told? Are we going to be one that whose life is just a shambles? Everything just falls apart. And one brother says, fall apart like a $2 suitcase. You know, that's our choice. It's our choice if we're going to stand or if we're going to fall. And so, you know, sometimes... Sometimes I feel like my messages, and I don't know why this is, I think it's just the call that's on my life. I feel like my messages are sort of like an alarm clock message. How many of you love that alarm clock in the morning? That alarm clock, it goes off, and most people, what do they want to do? Stop that. And sometimes that's how I feel. Go ahead, you can slap me if you want. You know, eventually... You have to get up, don't you? Eventually, you have to turn off that alarm, and you have to get up. And that's what message like this is. This is an alarm clock message. This is take notice. Things are going on. Things are happening in this world, and there's some things that you can do to get through it, to have you know, actually make it through it and be standing when these things pass. Ephesians chapter 6, again, same passage we've been looking at here. This is the Message Bible. It says, this is no afternoon athletic contest we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Excuse me. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. And so, as I said, we've gone through many, many weeks talking about the significance of each piece. I'm not going to even try to do that this morning. It would be impossible. But again, going back to the illustration of a soldier, what kind of training is required for a soldier? It's rigorous. It's rigorous. It's rigorous training. You know, they undergo months of training. They basic training in marksmanship, and they have to get familiarized with their weapons. They have to know, they have to train physically, certain physical fitness training, maybe some basics in first aid, survival training. You know, there's been movies made about guys who survived out in the middle of nowhere by themselves. Those are all the types of things that a soldier has to be trained in. Well, why would we think, as believers, that we don't need any kind of training, that we don't need any kind of rigorous training if we're going to get out there on that field and fight to the finish and be still standing when it's over. So he tells us in this passage of scripture what we have to do to face this evil day and what we have to do to be standing when the storms of life come. He tells us exactly what we need to do. Each piece of the armor that he mentions is significant because those things represent spiritual realities that form this wall of protection. They're not just defensive weapons. Some of them are offensive weapons. A sword is an offensive weapon. But each one represents this reality, a system of beliefs that we need to become established in. That's this church's name, Established Heart Community Church. Our goal is to help people get their hearts established, to get their hearts fixed, trusting in God's word, because it can make a difference. It might make the difference between your life and your death. If it comes to physical things or financial things or even the survival of a marriage. But he talks here about truth in this passage. He talks about righteousness. He talks about peace. He talks about faith. He talks about salvation. He talks about the sword of the Spirit. He talks about each one of these things, and he uses the word picture that they're like pieces of weaponry. And he says, you need all of them. You need all of these things in your life to survive. Not just the helmet. Not just this helmet. If I'm saved, everything will be great. I think that's a picture of too much of the church. Just wearing a helmet. They just have a helmet. They think that's all they need. I'm saved. Whew, I'm fine. But what do you do? If that's all you have, what do you do when the storms come? What do? You need all those pieces of armor. You know, truth. Truth is so important because God's word, we did our ladies' Bible study on Wednesday night. We talked about the word scan. That God's word, the truth of God is sufficient, it's clear, it's final authority, and it's necessary. The truth is absolutely, it's the most important thing to every believer is the truth, knowing what God's word says. God's word is truth. And then righteousness. Your righteousness is the first thing the enemy will question when he comes with those wiles. He'll come and he'll question your relationship with God. He'll question the nature of God. Well, if God is so good, why does God do this? A person that asks those questions is not established in righteousness. Or that fosters those questions, that engages in those questions. They don't know God. They don't know the goodness of God. They don't understand that. He'll question your identity. And it's so wonderful because we're not just righteous in man's sense of the word. We have been made the righteousness of God. I don't know that we really even know how righteous that is. I mean, here's man's righteousness, and here's God's righteousness is so far we can't even imagine above our righteousness. That's what's been given to us is that righteousness. So the enemy has nothing he can use on you. Peace. Talks about having your feet shod with the peace. These are just like tiny little nuggets that are out of many weeks of teaching. We have peace with God, but we also have the peace of God. You know what? You know what drives more people in this world to suicide is they have no peace. When you get saved and you come to know, when you're justified, you're made right in God's sight, there's a peace that fills your life. And then that peace translates to having the peace of God. No matter what you go through, you have a sense of peace. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. It says the peace of God actually is like having soldiers positioned around your head to protect your thoughts, to protect you. Peace is a word. Another word for peace is the Hebrew word shalom. That means nothing missing, nothing broken. Isn't that what we want in our lives? And then faith, the shield of faith. Not only is it our system of beliefs, but it's faith is a trust in God's faithfulness. We can trust him. He's faithful. Salvation. The helmet of salvation. Salvation, all that salvation entails. We need to have a full understanding of salvation, not just that we're saved from hellfire. We need to understand that the things that the work of redemption purchased for us, that's the helmet of salvation. And that protects us. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is, I love this one. this was a sword. It's not a huge broad sword that we think about. It's a small sword that they called a thrust and cut sword that was sharp on both edges, and it had a little curved tip on it. And what a soldier would do with that, this is really gross, but he would use it, he would thrust it into the gut of his enemy, twist it, and pull it out. Well, stuff came with that. And I love that, because you know what that does? It tells me that this is what enables us to gut the lies the enemy brings to us. Just gut the life right out of them. You use the word of God. But these are words that are quickened to us by the Holy Spirit in a time of need. So you can see why each one of these pieces is so important, and why these pieces of armament are what's going to enable us to stand against the wiles of the devil. But we have to put this on. And this word put on means to envelop yourself in it. In other words, it's like immersing yourself. It's like a saturating yourself with these realities. We have to do this. You know, you're not going to get that. Even if you're faithful to come to church every time the doors are open, and you have a daily reading time that you might do some daily devotional things, that isn't enough. That isn't the picture of a soldier in training. And again, we want to make it through these battles in life. We want to survive, but are we willing to do what it's going to require for us to do that? So oftentimes people ask, well, what should I include in my daily study? What are the most important things? If you could give me a list of the most important things that would make my life successful, that would enable me to walk victoriously, to live a great life, to have my needs met, to live healthy, wealthy, be wise, to be that light set on a hill, what would it be? Well, I think this passage tells us exactly what it is. We need to be grounded. We need to have a daily dose of the righteousness of God. We need to have a daily dose of the peace of God. We need to have a daily dose of understanding God's faithfulness. We need to have daily doses of these things that he talks about here. The other thing I was thinking about when I was preparing this, I was thinking about the whole concept of how many of you like to read labels on your food? So some of you do. Where there's certain things we're looking for, aren't there? But we're usually not looking for the things that are really the most foundational things, which are the RDAs, required daily allowances of things. Now, you know what? It tells us on those labels what the daily requirements are and what this particular food might provide. And so, we don't think that's important. But you go long enough without that, and it'll have a profound impact on you, won't it? If you go without your vitamin D, now there's a lot of talk about K2 and things that, you know, these are vitamins they're realizing now. These are vital to our functioning at an optimum place health-wise. You know we need fiber. We need all these different things in our diet to be healthy. And yet, so often believers don't realize that there's RDAs for spiritual life too. There are things that you have to have in your diet on a regular basis as a Christian if you're going to stand. If you're going to stand through the difficult things life brings along, if you're going to be healthy, if you're going to be a good witness. And Paul tells us what they are. We don't even have to guess what they are. He tells us what they are here in this passage of Scripture. He said, spend time thinking on the truth. Be grounded in why it's important to know that truth is not relative. You need to know why truth is not relative, that truth is absolute, and that God is always right. We need to know that. We need to know about the righteousness of God, because you'll be constantly challenged in life by accusations against who you are and what you're able to do as a believer. You'll constantly be challenged with those things. God will be challenged to you. You know, people will bring challenges to you about the nature of God. So we need to study the righteousness of God. We need to study the peace of God. We need to study these things. I would add a few other things to that list. I would say we need to study the love of God on a regular basis, because faith works by love. You know, certain vitamins function best. They're absorbed better because of other vitamins in our diet. Well, it's true of the Scripture. You know, that says that righteousness, that grace works because of righteousness. Having a great revelation and understanding of the righteousness of God will help you function in the grace of God better. Having a thorough understanding of God's love for you is going to help you be stronger in faith. So there's certain recommended daily things that we should be feeding on. Now, does that mean you have to study every single scripture the Bible has to say about these topics? No. You pull out a few. Get yourself a topical Bible, a Naves topical Bible, or you could even look some of these things up online nowadays, and you'll find dozens of scriptures. And my husband and I have talked about this. One of the things that we're working on the process of right now is actually having these lists of scriptures and then recording them and then listening to ourselves. You know, it sure beats listening to whatever. Hearing your own voice declaring these truths. That's what establishes us. That's what enables us. So when these storms come, when these lies come, when these battles come, you've got something to fight back with. You know, it's not enough to say, well, I think my pastor said something about that back some months ago. I think there was a message about that. That's not yours. It has to be yours. And when we take these things in on a daily basis, on a regular basis, they become ours. They belong to us. It's something that you have in your arsenal that you can pull out at a moment's notice and fight back. You can have the final word. The attack, the thought, the pressure, the stress, they don't have to have the final word. We can have the final word. I love something Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. This is right after his message on the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is an incredible parable because Jesus basically explains in that parable that the whole kingdom of God works this way. This is how I set the kingdom of God to work. You have to sow seed. And he tells us what the seed is. It's the word of God. You have to sow it. There's things you have to do with it for it to become fruitful in your life. And so often we're going out to our garden looking to pull something out and there's nothing there because we didn't plant any seed. We never planted seed on along those lines in the first place. And yet, if I had a kitchen garden and I wanted to go out and get some lettuce out of my garden, but I had continued to sow seeds, I might be at the very end of that, of my lettuce crop. I'm going to have to wait a while until I get another lettuce crop. This is something you have to continue to do. It's not having heard the word that makes it real in your life. It's continuing to hear it. It's continuing to feed on these things. It's not, I've heard that once. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. That's what keeps it fresh in our lives. It's not just once. This passage in Mark, chapter 4, verse 24, this is the Amplified. He said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So how much virtue, how much power, virtue is power, how much power do you want to get out of the truths in God's word? How much do you want? We want it all, don't we? We want all that God has for us. Then we're going to have to give ourselves. We're going to have to give thought and study to the word, to the truth that we hear. That's why Joshua 1 and Psalms 1 both talk about meditating in the word day and night. Now, does that mean that you have to shut yourself in a closet and get away from them? No. These things can be going through your mind all day long, these truths. You're thinking about something. If you're undergoing some kind of attack in your life, I guarantee you that is on your mind all day long. So, you know, I know this can be done. None of us are too busy for this. When people say I'm too busy, I always want to say, you're going to be busy, all right. You'll be busy with all the things you don't want to be busy with. You'll be busy running to the doctor. You'll be busy trying to figure out how to make ends meet. You're going to be busy fighting with your spouse. You're going to be busy, but it's not going to be with the things that you want to be busy with. None of us are too busy for this. This is something we need. So we need a spiritual daily allotment of these things. This is what's going to keep us strong as believers. And again, I know I sound like an alarm sometimes, like just get off of it already. But you know, when the rain starts falling, that's not the time to get up on that roof. It's time now to do this. We are facing things in this world that'll cripple you mentally if you let them get in. You have to know how to fight back. You have to know what to use. You have to know what the word says to answer these things. You can have the final word. You can have the final word when you're hearing these things, what's happening in the world. You can have the final word. The enemy never has to have the final word. Never, never, never. Amen. You know, the Bible says 1,000 may fall at my right hand and 10,000 my left, but it'll not come nigh me. See, we have to be so established that we know no matter what's going on in the world, it's not going to come nigh me. I'm going to be standing at the end of this. And I'm going to be victorious at the end of this. And my life is going to be a testimony because of that. Boy, that just speaks volumes to people. When they see you go through tough places in life, but you have joy and you have peace and there's a sense of calm about you, people want to know why. Now, unfortunately, today, most often they'll think it's drugs. But you don't have to have drugs. We've been drug-free for years. It's cheap. It's free. We don't need drugs anymore. Amen? But you can have the peace of God. And it's a peace that passes. It says the peace of God that passes understanding. In other words, it doesn't make any sense that you'd have peace at this time. It passes all natural understanding. But it's because it's a spiritual truth. It's a reality that's become a part of you. So these are things I just wanted to challenge you with this morning. Get yourself a topical Bible if you don't have one, or just go online and start doing some searches. Pull up scriptures on the peace of God. Pull up scriptures on the righteousness of God. Pull up scriptures on truth, what the Word says about truth. The Word is truth. So if you want to know anything about anything, the Word's going to have it for you. Amen? Pull up these scriptures, these particular pieces. Why, if we don't do this, we will not stand. We will not stand. I'm not saying you might not stand. You will not stand. Eventually, the enemy will find something big enough to bring you to your knees. Don't wait until that happens. Amen?